It's been years since COVID-19 lockdowns brought nightlife to a halt, but many Cincinnati bars and nightclubs continue to struggle with rising costs and changing consumer habits. This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to discuss the challenges these businesses face and what they contribute to neighborhood business districts are Guerrilla Cinema Presents owner and CEO Jacob Trevino, Urban Fast Forward Managing Principal Kathleen Norris, and Cincinnati Business Courier staff reporter Haley Roden. Welcome to the program, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Jacob, there was a point at which your company was opening a couple new locations a year, right? What was the climate like for you then, and what has changed?
I think what has changed over the past few years is, we've noticed just the growth of Cincinnati kind of stall out a little bit. We've noticed a lot of different behaviors of guests, and particularly being a little bit more economical, but also looking for more immersive style experiences. And just the cost of opening a new business has continued to rise with kind of the demand from the audience that the experience that you open be better than the last thing that you did. It's always a new magic trick that you're trying to pull off for the audience.
Yeah, well, you got to top yourself. So, Jacob, what did it cost to open your first bar, and what does it cost these days?
So our first bar that we opened was the Overlook Lodge in Pleasant Ridge, and that was 11 years ago. And we opened that one for about $120,000. Our last project that we opened, Palm Valley Cocktails, cost about $800,000. To open. Again, there was different construction, but it goes back to the thing that we were trying to provide the audience with more elevated experiences. That you can still open a bar for, $100,000, $200,000 in the city using a second generation space, but getting the audience miles out of a place like that, how do you surprise them and create something new and create new space that gets people talking and allows you to kind of break through a lot of the social media noise to really make an impact and find your audience.
Yeah, you got to get people in the door. So Haley, what did you hear from other bar owners? What are the factors that make it so much more expensive to open and operate one of these businesses these days?
Yeah. There's lots of different factors that have changed since COVID. You have your changing demographics, your younger generation that's just overall drinking less. It's much harder to get people in the door than pre-COVID. And a lot of these bar owners are seeing a lot of rising costs and inflation and things that just have overall gotten more expensive since COVID. And additionally, it's harder to maintain staff. I believe I talked to Stuart McKenzie. He said it's hard to keep people in the space, and that turnover is expensive to keep people in, and just overall with everything changing, it's been very expensive.
Yeah. And Stuart McKenzie, he owns Northside Yacht
Yes.
Club, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And he owns a place in Newport too, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, Haley, do bars still generally account for a lot of jobs and economic impact? Do they still employ a lot of people?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I believe as of, was it last year? There's been a $40 billion revenue in this industry, and around 400,000 people are employed in this industry in the United States. It's been decreasing over the years, but still staying pretty steady. It's just with everything, causing the nightlife scene to change, it's been decreasing and increasing just back and forth.
Sure. Well, Kathleen, what can a bar contribute to a neighborhood business district? Are bars good businesses to have in the neighborhood business district?
Bars can be good businesses to have. They can also be bad businesses to have. It really depends on the character of the bar and how well it's operated. But most business districts think that bars are very positive contributors because they bring people down into the business district. They give them a place to gather. One of the things that has changed about bars is that we now have a lot of brew pubs, and we don't think of brew pubs as bars, but to some extent, those have replaced some of the neighborhood bars and are siphoning off a little bit of what we think is just traditional bar business. Every neighborhood now seems to have a brew pub. Again, they're a place for people to come to meet with their friends, to hang out, to talk, and to have a good time. The alcohol is the lubricant, but it's not necessarily, for most people, the prime cause.
Hmm. And why is that, just having more people in a neighborhood business district, why is that good for other nearby businesses?
Well, for a variety of reasons, and that is a great question, Lucy. First of all, it familiarizes people with an area. If they come to a bar because they think that it's going to be great and they've never been in that neighborhood before, that's the last time they will ever be able to say, I've never been in this neighborhood before. It brings people in who might patronize the other businesses in the area. They might shop. They might go to a restaurant to eat. They might pay for parking. They come bringing money to spend, and they don't spend all of it in the bar.
Okay. Well, we're talking about the business challenges that bars and nightclubs face and what they contribute to neighborhood business districts. If you have questions or comments, give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Haley, we've been talking about the different factors that make it more complicated and challenging to operate a bar. How many bars and restaurants has the Business Courier tracked that have closed since the start of 2025? You all have been paying pretty close attention to that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I believe it's been more than 40 since the beginning of 2025. You're definitely seeing more since that statistic was reported. But you're also seeing bars open with this. You know, it's not all gloom in this industry. These bar owners are just facing numerous factors that bar owners have never faced before. We've never had to experience a global pandemic and deal with the consequences of that. So, yes, a lot are closing, but there are still bars and owners and hospitality groups that are still making an impact on the Cincinnati economic community.
Yeah. And Haley, I'm sure it varies from location to location, from business to business, but across the country, do customers seem to be spending less, or is it just harder to make a profit? It looked like from your reporting that spending has kind of come back from the pandemic, hasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. There are trending changes in that. You know, post-COVID, a lot of people, it had gone down. But since then, I mean, we're almost 7 years out of COVID, and people are going back out. They want to go do new things, which is kind of what Jacob brought up at the beginning of this segment, is that a lot of people are going to more experimental bars. They want to go out and they want to do stuff. So yeah, people are getting out of the house a little bit more. Maybe not as much as it was pre-COVID, but people are going out. They're spending money. They're just being more, I don't know the right word for this, but they're being more careful about how they spend their money.
Okay. Well, Jacob, as a business owner yourself, and we should mention, tell us locally what the places are that you own.
So I own the Overlook Lodge in Pleasant Ridge, Tokyo Kitty in the Downtown Business District, and Palm Valley Cocktails, which is actually in Dublin, Ohio, up there at Bridge Park. And to kind of piggyback off of what Haley was saying, is what we're really noticing, much like all culture, is it's like not a monolith of nightlife anymore. You know, if you look back 14, 15 years ago, there are only a handful of places. And so those places had a very like large gravity for the audiences. So much like how we ingest pop culture and other culture now, it's very niche. So you have these places that are doing really, really well because they found their niche audience and they cater specifically to that niche audience. And you kind of see, you know, I talked in Haley's article, like the middle is like a great place to go die. It's like trying to appeal to everybody right now seems to be kind of a losing formula, that you really want to find who your audience is and try to appeal to them and create events and activities that appeal to that base.
Well, Jacob, as a business owner, what's the biggest challenge? Is it just getting people out of the house to begin with?
I think it is constantly trying to create new content, trying to create that content that people want to come enjoy, and knowing that you're competing against every other bar that is trying to do a trivia night or a movie night or a karaoke night. So trying to differentiate yourself is a big challenge. Labor has become a big challenge after COVID. You know, labor skyrocketed up, which is a good thing for the industry as a whole. But you're kind of watching that seesaw back and forth as owners try to figure out models that work towards profitability and also providing equity to the employees so that they can maintain, as Stuart was saying, the quality employees, and you don't have that rapid turnover over and over again. The cost of liquor has kind of maintained and stayed the same since COVID. You've noticed spikes depending on tariffs with Canadian products and things like that, but your general popular products have not really shifted in price since COVID, but all the other factors have gone up since then.
Okay. Well, we've got a lot more to talk about. We'll continue our conversation after a short break. And later in the program, a performance rooted in Nigerian culture with a message of unity. This is Cincinnati Edition. You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're back with our conversation about the business challenges that bars and nightclubs face and what they contribute to neighborhood business districts. My guests are Gorilla Cinema Presents owner and CEO Jacob Trevino, Urban Fast Forward Managing Principal Kathleen Norris, and Cincinnati Business Courier staff reporter Haley Roden. You can join the conversation. Call 513-419-7100, or you can email talk at wvxu.org. Haley, we've been talking a lot about bars and how the challenges that they're facing, but are nightclubs struggling even more? It seems like there used to be a lot more in the area than we have now.
Yeah, for sure. They're kind of seeing similar consequences as bars are. There's very few left in Cincinnati. And I know recently there was one in over the Rhine called Sharks. They closed after just a 6-month run in that space. And I can't remember what was in it before, but they closed as well before that. But yeah, overall, you're just not seeing as many open. I mean, it's not really like bars where you're still kind of seeing that consistent opening. Yeah, it's just there's a lot of factors going into it, but they are on the same struggle as bars are.
Yeah. Kathleen, what do you think are the factors that are feeding into that struggle nightclubs are seeing?
It's a really interesting question, Lucy. And Jacob mentioned something 13 or 14 years ago. I think I might have had my first Jacob Trevino drink, which was, by the way, Jacob, a Bruce Banner. really great cocktail. Jacob is an extraordinary mixologist. I think I might have had my first Bruce Banner about 17 or 18 years ago. 17 or 18 years ago, the millennials and the baby boomers constituted about 70% of the U.S. population. So those two age groups, and they were both drinkers. The baby boomers had the time and the money to go out and have a cocktail or two, and the millennials didn't have families yet. What's happened since? I'm sorry to tell you, because I'm a baby boomer, but my generation is dying off. We're not drinking as much as we used to. And the millennials are largely now home at cocktail hour, putting a toddler in the tub or helping with homework. And you cannot underestimate the importance of that demographic change. We just have people whose habits and lifestyle needs have changed. And so the idea of going out late night, the idea of partying, the idea of a nightclub is less and less appealing. And we have fewer and fewer people who are willing to do it.
Mm-hmm. So that would mean, I guess, the 90s and early 2000s would have been kind of the heyday of that nightclub era?
I would say, Jacob, what would you say? Early to mid-2000s? I mean, probably.
Yeah, early to mid-2000s, probably to about 2015, looking at early 2000 to about a good 15-year run. And I think that speaks to the generationality of just nightlife in general, is that every so often the city has a center of gravity where the nightlife is attracted to that certain area. So you see the proliferation of nightclubs and things like that, typically centered around an art community. So whether it be the North Side, you know, you saw kind of growing there pre-COVID. Post-COVID, it seems like Mount Adams is really booming again in the post-COVID area in terms of nightlife and nightclubs and things like that. And so I think, you know, a nightclub needs more nightclubs next to it to survive is kind of the deal. What's better than one nightclub, 10 nightclubs next to it? Because it creates an area and a gravity and a center. And we really haven't seen that kind of pop up in the post-COVID era. Again, you're seeing a little bit of that in Mount Adams right now. But for us and for the city, you can go into any neighborhood in the city now and get a great cocktail. You can go into any neighborhood in the city and have a great meal. So I think it's just a little bit more dispersed. And so I think creating that energy is also kind of driving that decline.
I also think the experiential piece that Lucy commented on earlier is important. I mean, as an example, one of the businesses, which is primarily a bar in terms of its what product it offers, that is doubling in size coming up is Nostalgia Wine Bar in Over the Rhine. But Nostalgia is a jazz bar. So people want something with their drink now. And in that case, they're getting great music.
We got an email from Jeff who writes, my wife and I go out every Friday evening, most often to a local craft brewery, but when we go, we're almost always hungry. What role does food play in neighborhood pubs? What do you think about that, Jacob? Is it important to have food as part of the mix?
Pre-COVID, food was not an issue, and you can talk to Bob Deck about that. He gave a great talk at a conference I was at about how none of the 4EG bars have food at all. And food has played a more important role in the more recent years. So all of our bars now have some sort of snacks or something to eat while you're there. I think that people are kind of, again, looking at their time and looking at their money and seeing where can we get the most bang for our buck. And so trying to have offerings for everybody is, again, it's a great way to drive up costs, as we kind of talked about running a food program along with a beverage program. You know that everybody that walks into a bar wants a drink. You don't know that everybody that walks into a bar is hungry.
Well, Jacob, Kathleen was just talking about experiences. What kind of impact has that made with your locations? I mean, you mentioned you own Tokyo Kitty downtown. That is all about the experience, right? And the karaoke there. I have been there with my daughters who love to sing into those microphones.
I think Tokyo Kitty, again, has done very well because it is, people know why they're going there. They're going there because they want to sing. I think a lot of the places that are succeeding right now, she talked about Nostalgia as you're going there for the jazz experience. You know, for us, we have leaned really hard into seasonality, creating seasonal pop-ups. We have one coming to the Overlook this Halloween called The Haunting, which is we're bringing this haunted museum to life so people can explore haunted curios while they have their drinks. You know, I think you're going to see a lot more of that in terms of the owners of Ghost Baby and all these other bars. They're really leaning into what is the experience when guests come and it's more than just a drink.
Yeah. We have a caller on the line. Hi, Barry. Thanks for calling. What's your question or comment?
Yeah, I just was mentioning that, well, first of all, great show. Always a great show, Lucy. It's good stuff.
Thank you.
I play in the local bands, and a big change that we've seen, particularly in the last 5 to 6 years or so, is we used to be hired to entertain the club's regulars, and now we're being hired to bring in our followers, which is a big change. It doesn't seem like a big change, but it really is significant, and I just wanted to bring that up.
Yeah, thanks, Barry. That's a great point. Kathleen, I see you nodding your head in agreement. Does that mesh with what you're seeing?
I think that's true. I think bars are looking for any way that they can get the word out to a new audience. And a good musician in Cincinnati has a lot of good musicians. I've got a friend who's a talented singer-songwriter, and when he plays, we follow him. and where he plays, we follow him. So if Steve Saunders is playing in a bar that I've never been to, then I'm likely to end up in that bar because that's where Steve's playing tonight. And I think that's a really great point that Barry makes, that we're going to follow the bands that we like. But how is that really any different than booking tickets to see the bands we like in a larger venue? We're going someplace for the music that we know appeals to us.
Yeah. Thanks, Barry.
And I think to add to that, Barry, I think what you're going to see is for the longest time, live music in the city has been free. And I think you're going to start to see the rise of the cover charge again, where going to these nightclubs, going to these bars is going to incur some sort of additional fee, whether it be small $5. But you do have acts in the city, as Kathleen pointed out, that are draws, that venues are actively seeking out bands that bring a new audience into their space. But I do think you're going to start to see an incremental like $5, $10 cover charge for live music. Now
it helps build our music scene. I think also of Motor Pub on Main Street and over the Rhine, which has been there probably 15 years now. Bands come in, they pay, the patrons pay, as Jacob notes, a small cover charge, but that's how we get bands that could not otherwise afford to come to our region.
Yeah. Jacob, I was reading this new Gallup poll that for the second year in a row, only 54% of Americans said they drink alcohol. And my sense is more bars are offering non-alcoholic cocktails as an alternative, but those ingredients can be expensive, can't they?
Yeah, that has come down to education of the audience. I've given several talks about building non-alcoholic beverage programs. And since day one at Guerrilla Cinema, we've always tried to provide high quality non-alcoholic alternatives to our guests as a way to say this is more than just juice. You know, I think sometimes when people think of a mocktail or something like that, they think of, oh, just juice in a glass. And I think for us, it's about crafting something unique. But back to the point, it's also about creating an experience. It's there's a rise in something that people call zebra drinking, where it's an alcoholic drink, a non-alcoholic drink, an alcoholic drink. They want to be there. They want to be social with their friends. They don't necessarily want to get blackout drunk.
Hmm. Haley, what do we know about the role recreational cannabis is having on bars in Ohio?
Oh, yeah, it's having a big role. You know, with the decreasing demographic and people around my age, 21, 24, and then you have 25 to 34-year-olds choosing to drink less alcohol as part of an overall well-being movement, they're choosing an alternative, and that alternative is cannabis. Legislation in Ohio has been a little tricky lately. There's been a couple lawsuits. Luckily, a few of Ohio Cincinnati's breweries, like 50 West and Urban Artifact, have received temporary restraining orders allowing them to resume production of THC beverages, which contributed to a lot of their revenue last year. Just these demographics of people are choosing to drink something else besides alcohol, and that is THC. So finding these in your bars and in your restaurants and different spaces, a lot of people are just choosing something new, something different besides alcohol, and you're seeing a decrease in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Well, Jacob, we are running out of time, but do you think that's a factor too? Just very quickly in the next 20 seconds, do you think recreational cannabis is having an impact?
I think you're going to see a lot more experiential things with cannabis here in the near future, and I'm excited to see what that holds too.
Okay. Well, I've been talking with Guerrilla Cinema Presents owner Jacob Trevino, Urban Fast Forward Managing Principal Kathleen Norris, and Cincinnati Business Courier staff reporter Haley Roden. Thank you all so much for your time today and for this interesting conversation.
Thank you for
having
us.
Thank you, Lucy.
Thank you.
Up next, the final act in this season's It's Commonly Jazz series invites you to be part of the performance. This is Cincinnati Edition.